If you've ever run a network, you've probably been there too. You're at the terminal, you enter in a command, and then pings stop unexpectedly. And it feels like your heart stops too, right? I know I've been there, only to have my inbox and cell phone blow up with calls 3 seconds later asking, what in the world is going on with the network? Well, in today's Telemetry Now, we're rounding out our customer series with Avi Friedman, Joe DiPaolo, and Jezebel Gilmore with some war stories. Some stories about how we brought down a network accidentally. At least I hope it was an accident. Or maybe we were part of some epic network outage that sticks with us forever. This is going to be a fun one today. I'm Philip Gervasi, and this is Telemetry Now. Avi, Joe, Jezebel, thank you so much for joining the podcast again today. It really is great to have you back. So in thinking about today's show, it kind of occurred to me that there is such a wealth of knowledge and information and experience in this group. Yeah, probably turning a physical wrench many years ago, but in more recent years, turning that metaphorical virtual wrench of networking, fixing, designing, building networks and network adjacent technologies and all of that. There has to be in your file cabinet of experiences and stories some epic war stories of outages that you lived through, maybe that you caused. Those are always great, right? They're not great that like you experienced them, but they're fun to talk about in hindsight and the lessons that we learned, or maybe some epic failure, epic outage, epic catastrophe that you were part of that you'd like to share. And in any case, I have to assume that there's at least one that you're thinking of right now. And if you're in the audience, probably you as well. I know I can think of one. And so that's what I wanted to do today, is kind of just go around the group and share what we're comfortable with and hopefully have a good time doing it. So why don't we get started?
That's the you're drumming up old feelings, but I'll go first. So I've been doing data center and network operations for a long time, so I could fill several podcasts of all the various incidents. But there, when you bring that up, there is one very specific one. So I was, like most good outages, I was asleep in the middle of the night, and my operations leader had called me to tell me that the cooling system, the fire suppression system in the data center has gone off. And so we had our core data center, and there was a machine that overheated that caught fire. And typically those fire suppression systems have two triggers. In this case, the second trigger didn't work. And so the sprinklers went off in the entire data center. And so I actually keep the sprinkler on my desk. As a reminder, I'm showing it on the screen now. I keep it with me. But the interesting part of this story was that the every data center has a big red switch that turns the power off. And so the fire company wouldn't go into the data center because the electricity was still on and the water was pouring out of the data center. So one of my guys, without my knowing, used a cardboard to slide over to press the button, and nothing happened. Turned out that the kill switch wasn't wired to anything, and so the electricity was on. And anybody knows water and electricity doesn't go well together. So the power company had to cut power to the block to take the power out of the data center. And so needless to say, we had thousands of machines that were soaked with water. So we went to Best Buy and Costco, and we bought dozens of blow dryers, and we took machines apart, and it was a many million dollar incident. It was very hard to explain to customers and to board, but it was the one thing, if every little outage, every packet loss or fiber cut or whatever, it was always put in the perspective of, I didn't sleep for almost 50 hours straight as we went through this this scenario. So it was a hell of an incident. So that was my story. It was it's one that sticks with me and puts in perspective all the other incidences that I have in my life. So, the day the data center filled with water, and we were too cheap to use what's the suppression that's liquid they use?
I just had it in
the
my
data
head.
Centers. It's escaping.
Well, it's called
Halon or something like
Halon.
That.
Halon. We were too cheap to use Halon. So we use water, thinking, well, if it's a fire. But needless to say, it was a hell of a few days. So that's mine. What about you, Avi? You got one?
Oh, I have a number of them. I'm trying to think. The one which may most closely have some lessons for, I'll skip over the lessons of the fuck you date that was not from fiber or things that you think are redundant that aren't and go more to the logical. So the danger of confusing UI and its potential implications for leveraging AI. So there are multiple camps of preference for how to configure the devices that do our networking. This is back in the days, I think Juniper had just come out. So there was GateD, but it was really just Cisco iOS, and which wasn't even really an operating system, more of a program loader. So we were doing some things at this company that Jezebel and I worked at that were probably considered a little risky. I always say, don't use BGP weights. Another thing is be very careful redistributing between verticals. So we were redistributing from the border gateway protocol into our internal protocol, OSPF, which
I think I know where this
does
is
not
going.
Stand for octopus suction cup protection factor, as the Israeli says it.
Right.
Nor does BGP stand for being good Philadelphians, but the border gateway protocol into the open shortest path first protocol. And the way you tell a Cisco device to remove something is you say no. So we had a router OSPF 22 redistribute BGP 4969 route map foo. And so someone was like, well, let me turn off the redistribution. They meant to stop this whole thing. So they said, no, redistribute BGP 4969. But the first time you do that, all it does is take the route map off. So you then wind up with this fire hose taking all the routes on the internet and putting them into your internal protocol, which is not a good idea because these internal protocols, for the most part, need to run these very complex calculations, which have gotten better but still are expensive. So we took the network down so hard that, like the Facebook incident, you basically needed to, in a synchronized fashion, reboot all of them at the same time. So this was painful, even, you know, because we had a international network at the time, and out of band, maybe I will say at this point, was not like completely, you know, set for everything. It was not like we had 4G out of band back in 99. So the lesson learned comes back to some of the things about, you know, trust but verify. There's a lot of nuance to this. Maybe LLMs can be good for explaining some things, but if you rely if you don't have humans involved in the complete order of operations for automation or really good understanding of how the quirks of these things, you can run into big problems. So that was probably not the longest outage, but one of the more painful ones that I've been involved in.
And that's a great lesson learned. How many times have you run across especially back in the day where someone would announce the internet over their transit link? And
we call that being May clueless. Yes. You know, yeah. May East, May clueless.
May clueless. I love it.
Jezebel, how about you? Do you have one that you'd like to share?
Well, maybe not as spectacular as Joe and Avi's, but it impacted me personally tremendously. We just launched the network operational at Packet Fabric, and we were doing an upgrade, and we hit a bug on our platform, and we designed the network to be fully automated. So, you know, the code, the update of the network was automated, and it was distributed across all the devices. So when we hit the bug, it automatically shut down all the devices and then put them into reboot by themselves. And so we couldn't even actually get in cycle to go in and reboot each and every one of the routers. We had to literally send people on site to stop the cycle. And luckily, we had just started the operations of the network. So we only had like a handful of customers on there. So we did not have as huge an impact as we would have later. But the lesson was learned, as Avi said, you know, trust but verify your automation. But it hit me hard because I was the customer-facing executive. So I was personally on an apology tour to all of the customers.
We've all been there. Flowers and candy. We've all been there.
I did a lot of that, especially in the 90s when, yeah, iOS, as I said, called an operating system, but it was really a program loader. So it was not a lot of protection from bugs taking things down. So,
but the good thing is that we learned early, and it's, you know, with all that, it never happened, at least when I was a pack of fabric again. So,
yeah, never waste a crisis, right?
Network automation, breaking the network at scale really, really fast.
Absolutely.
It is good to get a little experience with that early. We went a comparatively long time, especially compared to networks at the time, without a major outage at Akamai. And when the first one happened, you know, what do we tell people? How do we communicate? You know, it can be traumatic, actually. More traumatic if you have had none of them until you get at scale.
So the story that I want to share, it isn't like super epic. I didn't take down like a global network or have a big routing redistribution problem or something like that. But it came to my mind, and it has stuck with me for 20 years because of how impactful it was on me and like my philosophy of how I approach a network engineering task or project. Most of my career has been with VARs, so I've, you know, going project to project, customer to customer, whether I was working in data center routing or campus wide area network, you know, installing a fleet of firewalls for an organization, whatever it happened to be. I live in the Northeast in the New York area, and I had a larger law firm in our area as a customer, and I was replacing their core switching. And I go into one of their buildings. It was actually an MDF switch, so it was the core for that building. It wasn't for like in their data center. And I have everything staged so I can just move the cables over. Once I have the configurations on the new boxes, I can move cables over for and then move over my gateways and all that kind of stuff. And so what I noticed when I was working in there one day was that the racks were not bolted to the floor. And I'm like, that's not right. It's not a big deal, whatever. And, the racks weren't like top heavy and toppling over. I didn't really see any risk there. But I did notice that the racks were not absolutely perpendicular and parallel to the floor tiles. You know how you could see like the lines of the floor tiles, the grout lines, right? How they meet. And I am so OCD about everything being neat and clean with my work in the data center and with cable management and with all this stuff, right? And clean configs even too, that really bothered me. So after I do like the important work and get everything cut over and everything is testing and working fine, and all the cables, you know, all the wires are now in the new switches, and the old switches are just sitting there. I left them on in case I had to roll back, right? So they're just sitting there. I literally grab that the rack with the new switches, right? I literally grab that rack and start to like jerk it left and right so I can line it up with the tiles. This is the stupidest thing. Well, as I'm doing that, all of a sudden I hear pop, 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 pop. And what I did was one of the times that I jerked the rack, it kind of like jerked along the ground too much, and a bunch of the Ethernet cables got, you know, ripped out, popped out of the interfaces. I did not take down like the data center and the entire law firm's network overall. That building had a lot of issues, sure, but I didn't take any the whole thing down. But that stuck with me even to this day. That was like 15 years ago, I think. I don't know. Because it really taught me the lesson to be careful and to be very deliberate, and not just careful and cautious, but deliberate and thoughtful with what I'm doing as a network engineer. Yeah, with like cable management and, you know, going into something like a like a bull in a china shop, not a good plan. But going into something deliberately thoughtful, careful, taking my time, and that's true with like racking stuff and moving things around inside of an IDF or an MDF, but also with my configurations, with my planning. So working with the project managers, with the customer, and going really stepping through things cautiously and methodically. Because prior to that, you know, as a network analyst, junior network engineer, whatever my title was, I really was a lot more like jump in. I know the commands. Let's go. Just got my CCNA or CCNP or whatever. So, you know, I wanted to just start flying on the keyboard. But that lesson, or rather that outage that I caused and that incident that I caused, really taught me a lot about being a better network engineer.
Change management's a good thing.
I almost did that in Vinny's data center in Virginia area. I leaned against a rack, not realizing that four racks in a row were bolted to each other and to the tiles, but not into the floor. And the whole thing, we saved it, but it was almost a bad situation for MA.
Yeah, there's just too many examples of times where I did like a shut on the wrong interface. And took down like a building or something, or I remember that. That was a high school in my area. I was doing a project for a school district and then took their high school offline. Their data center was in the school, like the business office, which was a different building on the campus. Totally took their high school offline. High school of like 3,000 students, a really big high school, like 800 kids per grade. That wasn't good. I've done like incorrect prefix list, broken routing. I've done things like forget the reload command, you make a change. No. You forget that you had the reload command. You make the change, everything's working, and you walk away. And then the reload command, you forget the cancel reload, and it takes effects and it reboots the router. Oh my goodness. Not that many, okay? I did get better over the years as an engineer, so it's not like I have only bad stories. But certainly those stick in your memory a lot more than all the good ones, right? All the successful cutovers that, you know, you forget about because they were successful.
Phil, you should do a Hold My Beer episode for everybody. So to talk about their outages, right? Because
That would be an epic episode, Jezebel. You're right. Totally, totally agree with you there.
We used to have a bat light that Gil got at a garage sale that was in the office at NetAccess. And we rigged it. They rigged it. They would tail the TACAX logs and rig it to light up when I was configuring the network. So as soon as they would light up, so they knew that there was danger if someone called.
Oh my God. I love that.
What's going on with the network? There are too many stars in my trace route. And they'd be like, Avi, what are you doing?
Avi's on it. Avi's touching it. We had a cheese hat, like a Green Bay Packer cheese hat. And if a user caused outage, you had to wear it at your desk. And so it rotated on. So basically you didn't want to earn the cheese hat if you were the one that actually caused that problem. And so I love it. Yeah, but they don't do that stuff anymore, I don't think. Now they get fired.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I do remember years and years ago, the very first VAR I worked with, which was a tiny little MSP. And so like after I got off the help desk and I finally got like a junior analyst, network analyst position, whatever you want to call it, there was a problem with the team not adding configuration changes, even things like we added a new device to one of our customer networks. And so, you know, we had our CMB was ConnectWise, right? Our configuration management base. And so if you were working on a customer and you needed to know the password for a router, you'd go look it up there. If it wasn't there, well, whoever's job it was to put it in there had to bring in donuts. In the Northeast, it's Dunkin' Donuts. Had to bring in Dunkin' Donuts for the entire team the next day. So I was guilty of doing that a couple times. But it was a silly, fun, and, you know, for a larger and growing team, sometimes even an expensive price to pay. If you forgot to document your changes and to add that stuff into our system, so yeah, those things are important too. Now, it wasn't an outage when I did that, but certainly an important thing that I messed up on that I learned.
I almost ended up on Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey. All right, let's hear this. Let's hear this.
So we were doing this was early, one of the first live events after Victoria's Secrets. Oprah Winfrey Book Club with Eckhart Tolle, where they were going to do like a Q&A after her show, and it absolutely melted down. It was, at the time, it was the one of the largest events. We couldn't handle the intermediate caching. We could the global networks like Comcast were, and then so it ended up being a fail. Like, it just didn't go. So we get on the phone with her and her management team, and she wants me to come on the show and explain to her audience what happened. You know, the internet, this, like, funny, the same conversations Netflix is having right now, which is just, how come you couldn't handle it? And so I fly to Chicago to go on the show. Like, that's how close I got. And I immediately said no, but the CEO was like, you're going on there because you're going to wear, you know, a Limelight shirt and talk about Limelight. And then at the last minute, the producers cut it. They didn't think it would be right for her audience, and Oprah Winfrey breaks the internet. And so it stopped. But it was one of those things where, like, you know, people don't understand how the internet works, and, you know, you can't put 500,000 people in an afternoon and expect it to work. So, yeah. So
sometime I'll tell the story about when the phone company called my ISP asking when the internet would be back on. After they converted all our BATS T1 channels to AMI. So,
you know, I really do think that we could do a Hold My Beer episode like Jezebel suggested, right? Just comparing and contrasting war stories. We could probably do a series of them. But on that note, it is time to wrap this one up. And this does actually wrap up our customer series with Joe DiPaolo, Avi Friedman, and Jezebel Gilmore. So thank you all so much for joining me for this series of podcasts, ending today with what I think was a pretty fun discussion about some of our own experiences. So for our audience's sake, if you have an idea for an episode, or if you'd like to be a guest on Telemetry Now, I would love to hear from you. Please reach out to us at telemetrynow@kentick.com. So for now, thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.